Greetings, salutations, and welcome to the channel for all your relationship needs. Too long have a woman been left out in the cold, desolate with the deception fed to them about who they are, how they should live, what they should do and say, even where they should go, and who they should choose to live their lives with. On this excursion, we will be dissecting and presenting the authentic truth, revealing the illusions of the world, as women are situated to operate from a position of strength. There is someone who cares about you and your future. My name is Kareem Ainsley, and I have been given charge to ensure that females are transformed into ladies and are cultivated into princesses to be prepared as a queen for her king. Enjoy and embrace the awakening as you listen, like, comment, share, subscribe, and turn your notification on so you will be in the know. For those who have been moved by the Spirit to make open communication, feel free to do so using our VIP section, the comments. And if you'd like to reach out to me, the communication address is listed below. Those whose hearts have been impressed to contribute to the ministry, you can do so using the information in the description. Thank you for your time and do enjoy edification, elevation, encouragement, empowerment, and emancipation as you allow yourself to assimilate the information within the context of a biblical understanding with the expectancy that you exercise wisdom in deciding your trajectory for now and eternity. We live in a world where the perception of reality is more real than the reality itself. In this session, we will be discussing sex and sexuality. I know it's a very pugnant topic, but it is critical that it be discussed as we make the transition from a female into a lady and move from a princess into a queen. But before we can discuss sex, we need to understand what is sexuality. Because sexuality is a precursor to sexual expression. When you understand sexuality, it will allow your mind to realize that we are sexual beings. However, many of us have been over-sexualized. Our sexuality has been exploited with the bombardment in the direction of sex, not realizing that sex is not as the media presents it to us. Sex is never ending. Sex does not stop. Intercourse is what the media presents to us as sex. However, it is not sex. It is just that, intercourse. So in today's session, we will be discussing what is sex. If you are interested in hearing and understanding the concept of sexuality and sex, stick around and stick to the end, and I am sure that you will be more educated than 99% of the world's population. For ease of understanding, it is imperative that we comprehend the basic concept which indicate you were created by intelligent design. You were created in the image of God. God created sex for those he created, which in this case represents humanity, human beings. If you were not created, you should not be having sex or sexual relations. If you don't believe in God, you should not engage in sex, sexual relations, or sexual expression. It is that simple. You cannot take a gift from someone you claim does not exist. The principle of sex and sexual relationship ties into worship. Operating outside of divine design is idolatry. It is worshiping a false god. It's similar to the concept of taking a fruit out of season. That there is an aberration. In your mind, you desire a mango, but the tree is just in its blossoming state. The mango tree belongs to you. But then you say you desire a ripe mango, and you go and take that, blossom, that there is taking something out of season. Though it was created for you, you have taken it out of season. So in the time of taking it out of season, you will not receive the benefits that it could have given to you had it been taken in season. So in this case, you may have indigestion, diarrhea, and other digestive complication and a mild level of body toxicity. However, in the grand scheme of things, when sex and sexuality are taken outside of their appropriate design, it creates an aberration and lead to damnation, destruction, dissatisfaction, diseases, and a lot of other disorders. Before we delve any further into this interesting and insightful topic, let us turn our attention to 1 Timothy 1 and verse 10. It says to us, "For warmongers, for them that defile themselves with mankind, for men stealers, for liars, for perjured persons, and if there be any other thing that is contrary to sound doctrine." In another translation, it says, "If it is for those who commit sexual sin, homosexual, those who sell slaves, those who tell lies, those who don't tell the truth on the oath, and those who are against the true teachings of God." This is the confusion that the sexual revolution creates. Let us break it down for our understanding. The warmonger, or those who commit sexual sin, includes everyone who has been misguided in relation to sex and sexuality. We are still in 1 Timothy 1 and verse 10. It says, "defile themselves with mankind." We're speaking about the homosexual. We're speaking about the quilt baller, the queer or questioning, undecided, intersex, lesbian, trans, bisexual, asexuals, and gays. We move now to the men stealers, or those who sell slaves. The Catholic Church, different religious groups, and government empires would fall into these categories. Liars, for perjured person, speaks of those who tell lies under oath. We are speaking about the lawyers, the politician, the government, etc. And then finally, it comes to the meat of the matter. Other things that is contrary to sound doctrine. Other things that is contrary to sound doctrine. It means then those things which are against the true teaching of God. Which brings our attention to the Satanists, the evolutionists, the false teachers, etc. I know that there is a mouthful, and we could end on this note, but we must continue. We must press on just a while longer. We need to understand that human beings operate on two levels simultaneously. The physical, which is the lower level of functionality, and the spiritual, which is the higher level of operation. You can be an existing dead in the physical. However, you only begin to live when you are able to access the purity of the spirit. It is clear as the nature of human that there needs to be multiplication and procreation of the species. Hence, the act of sexual engagement is rudimentary. Prior to that act, there needs to be the colorful exhibition of the precursor, which is sexuality. The spiritual constitution puts it plainly that sex is a gift given by God to a husband and a wife within the bonds of matrimony exclusively. The process of coitus serves three basic functions. First, it serves as the process of a man, which is a husband, and a wife, which is the woman, being united. Genesis 2 and verse 24, "Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother, and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall become one flesh." The second reason is to heed the commandment in being fruitful and multiplying in the pleasure and the light of procreation, while passing on the knowledge of God and having dominion. Genesis 1 and verse 28 says, "And God blessed them, and God said unto them, Be fruitful and multiply, and replenish the earth, and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, and every living thing that moveth upon the earth." I want to assure you that this dominion was not to have dominion over the woman, or the woman having dominion over the man. It was everything that was created prior that should be under authority. The third reason it served is as a symbolic reminder of the relationship that the Lord has with the church, as is elaborated in Ephesians 5 verses 31 and 32. "For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall join unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church." Amen. The relationship, when done in accordance to the will of God, should represent Christ and the church relationship as intended. If you're getting something which is not parallel to the relationship between Christ and the church, the love that Christ has for the church, the respect that the church has for Christ, and the love and the unity of mind, then something is wrong. I want to bring your attention to the fact that coitus is not about selfishness. It is about sharing in a mutual endeavor. This type of expression can ignite an unquenchable fire which knows no boundaries. Hence, maturity, physical and emotional stability needs to be fostered prior to the engagement in a marriage relationship. Hence, for this reason, it is crucial to steer the process leading up to the expression before the engagement. We should not in any moment forget that single men and women are designed as sexual beings, already equipped with the necessary systems to facilitate the fulfillment of the Father's commandments. Sexuality has nothing to do with sex. It is an expression of sexual inclination involving human biochemistry, physical, social, emotional, and spiritual completeness. This is not something that is off when single and appears on when one becomes married. The image that we present in our appearance and presentation speaks a volume of our sexual expression. The expression is not compartmentalized. It functions on the levels of physicality, intellectual potency, emotional stability, rationalization, and even in the realm of spirituality. We need to remember whose image we are created in, making it the core engine of our sexuality. Without sexuality, there would be no relationship. The expression of the same should be controlled and channeled in righteousness, without the use of questionable allurement. The longing to be vulnerable, with your soul intertwined with another, the titillating desires of your heart fulfillment. Though eager you may be, it is your responsibility to put your body under subjection. Though eager you may be, it is your responsibility to put your body under subjection. The world teaches that flirting is a necessary precursor to sexual expression. But flirting is an intriguing behavior in which humans use to initiate what is called the lustful dance, describing the gesture as a mannerism employed to arrest the attention of another. The gaze is used by men or women making eye contact and attempting to hold the target gaze for more than a second. The attention is captured and then the approach. Both parties need to display synchronization of mutual attraction. After this is established, there is the touching, which can be appropriate until it moves into the inappropriate. Flirting should not be practiced as it distracts from the vital attributes for consideration in the selection of a partner, and to a great degree offers deceit to the unsuspecting. Let us read what Matthew 5 and verse 28 tells us. But I say unto you, that whoever looketh on a woman to lust after her has committed adultery with her already in his heart. So we are seeing where flirting can be considered a lustful dance, but those who engage in this kind of lustful practice, they have committed adultery with whomever they have looked upon for that purpose. Hence, as a safeguard, flirting should not be practiced. Many literatures will speak about the foreplay. Before you can get involved, you need a foreplay system. Once again, the unwary soul is swept away in the abyss of the unknown. After the provocation evoked by sexual passion, referred to as foreplay. Oh, what a psychological turmoil to be overcome. Before the thought of penetration, there is the foreplay. This is the primer, the lubricator, the mood setter. It comes before and goes after, leaving behind trails of dripping seduction. As puberty emerges, it becomes more evident the realization of the effects and significance of the functionality. The hormonal turbulence can take the individual on a roller coaster ride in which the whole body is screaming and your motor screams not to say anything. The female will experience the increase in production of estrogen, fluctuation of progesterone, and interference of testosterone. The male would experience a spike in testosterone and periodical abnormalities in the estrogen circulation. These changes put the body in a state of shock, forcing the body to increase its adaptability. The faster the body adapts, the easier it will be to usher this phase away. The flooding of the hormones in the body will give the effect of an addictive drug. Estrogen and testosterone increase sexual urges, oftentimes referred to as libido enhancing. Lust develops when these hormones are uncontrolled or unregulated, driving on feelings, neglecting principles. Another hormone, oxytocin, plays a stabilizing role in interpersonal interaction. It is stated to aid in the maintenance of the psychological boundaries. The hormone plays an integral part in boundaries and is released when the mother lactates and the nipples are stimulated, as the infant latches on, and it also presents itself simultaneously with the climatic production. Elevated levels are seen in touching and cuddling. The symphony of hormones which overcomes with feelings of pleasure are adrenaline, dopamine, norepinephrine, phenylethylamine, among which decreases, and the inflated idea of lovelikeness fades within 2 to 3 years. So yes, you can be smitten for 2 to 3 years, believing you're in a relationship, but guess what? It's all in your imagination. It's all a fantasy. Then we have the switch on. Knowing what caused the feeling, it is almost time to put the feeling that are innate into action. When the switch is turned, a cascade reaction takes place, and all the hormones start interacting, causing an inexplicable attraction without the vessel realizing. Suddenly, there is an unfathomable, alluring intoxication of the essence of the individual's presence, working on the subconscious, sedated by the pheromone. The switch can be turned on by that which is heard, seen, felt, smelled, or even tasted simultaneously. It could be that kind word of acknowledgement or the beauty that graces your eyes. It could be even from the brushing of a hand, or the aroma of the essence, or the taste of a meal melting in the vocal cavity. The electricity then speeds throughout the body and starts an electrical fire. Both men and women of God are attracted to personalities rooted in God. The physical appearance has its place in the switch-on process. However, it plays no significance in the final assessment of the selection. Proverbs 31 and verse 30 reminds us that favor is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. It's now the point where you have to ask yourself the question, do you want to be a woman of vain beauty, or do you want to be remembered as a woman who fears the Lord? Because if you want to be a woman who is remembered as fearing the Lord, then you will be indeed highly elevated. You will indeed receive the kind of caliber man that you desire. Humans are varied in appearance, and each individual will find different stimuli pleasing in the initiating a turn-on. For some, it could be the attribute of muscularity, the conversation, the V-shaped torso, the fullness or the lack thereof of the bust, the slim and slender, the strong and the curvaceous. It could even come down to the low waist-hip ratio, symmetry or asymmetry, whatever it may be. When it hit, be diligent enough to know and do not become overpowered by it. Hence, exercise self-control. Some decide that it is better for them to live in fantasy than reality. Why would you even choose to live in fantasy zone? Fantasy, it is an illusion of erotism, creating a false sense of reality. Young people are encouraged not to think on matters of this magnitude, lest the mind becomes overwhelmed and corrupted. Not to mention the heart being drawn away from God. Young people are encouraged not to think on these matters. Young people are encouraged not to think on matters of this magnitude, lest the mind becomes corrupted and the heart is drawn away from God. Sexual fantasy are the gate to sexual impurity. Fantasizing the arousal of an untamed beast that, if left to roam, will damage and destroy all that comes in the path while destroying itself. 2 Timothy 2 and verse 22, it says, "Flee also youthful lusts, but follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart." Sexual fantasies are commonplace in our society as individuals are bombarded by the advertisement and other culturalization. Psychoanalytic experts say that unconsciously we all have fantasy. Surprisingly, our fantasies are a reflection of what we are exposed. If the exposure could be avoided, then a better level of control over the subconscious would be executed. The information that our minds are fed develop these fantasies, such as the pornographic material that is feasted upon, the suggestive knowledge of the forbidden imaginary generation, scenes of sexual irresistibility, of irresponsibility, dominance and submission fantasies of destruction, among the other deviations practiced within the generation. Fantasy has its costs. You don't want to have to pay a cost for something that you don't want. Now, let us talk about the dream. The dream, it is a sexual enigma or a dream that comes with nocturnal emission. Bedwetting and nocturnal emission are not the same. With bedwetting, we have urine as a solvent, while vaginal secretion for the females or spermatozoa for the males are evident with nocturnal emission. These fluids quickly evaporate with time after an involuntary orgasm. If there is, Deuteronomy 23 verses 10 through 11 says to us, "If there be among you any man that is not clean by reason of uncleanness that chaseth him by night, then shall he go abroad out of the camp, he shall not come within the camp." Should this natural occurrence be evident upon waking from your slumber, it is acceptable for you to have a bath and cleanse yourself. There is no need for feeling compromised. Let us look in brief at the sexual cycle that has been made mention to us. During expression of sexuality, there is a likelihood of arousal and even orgasm. The cycle comprises four phases, including excitement, plateau, orgasm, and resolution. And we need to understand that sexuality and its cycle is cyclic, which means that it's never ending, it never stops. So once sex has been engaged, it never stops. Intercourse may be paused, but sex has not stopped. Sexuality does not stop. Sexual expression in and of itself does not stop either. So now let us move to phase one. Phase one is the excitement. During this period, there is an increase in muscle tension. The heart rate increases. Complemented with breathing, the skin becomes flush as blood flow increases and the nipples become erect. Blood flow increases and the genitals and both the clitoris and the labia minora become swollen while there is vaginal lubrication. In phase two, we have the plateau phase. This is the pre-orgasmic phase characterized by the continued expansion of the vagina with increased blood flow. While the walls become a darker purple, there is no increased sensitivity in the clitoris for the female. For the male, the testes are withdrawn into the scrotum. The breathing, heart rate, and blood pressure increases with muscle spasm occurring in the hands, feet, and face. Now phase three, the phase that most persons are excited to reach but so too few enjoy, the orgasm. In this phase, the muscles begin to contract involuntarily, blood pressure, heart rate, and breathing continues to increase, thus affecting blood pressure. The muscles of the feet go into spasm until there is a sudden force release of the sexual tension. Then, after it all, after going on the mountaintop, there is phase four, the resolution. In this phase, the body returns to the rest phase in which deflating occurs. Blood pressure decreases, breathing normalizes, the blood flow decreases, the blood empties from the engorged organs and returns into circulation. At this phase, circulating endorphin and oxytocin causes the desire to cuddle. And that there is what we understand as the sexual cycle. So there is always the rest phase, and then there are always the next phases, which means the cycle never stops. There is so much to cover on this topic of sex and sexuality, but we'll only cover this much in brief. So what we need to understand is that we are all created in the image of God, created as sexual beings. Sex was designed by God for humanity for the purpose of procreation, subduing, reflecting a symbolic relationship with God and the church, the Lord and the church. Sexuality exists within all of us, as that was how we were created. We also understood that we should flee flirting, flee foreplay outside of the matrimony, flee turning people on, and flee the realm of a fantasy, because we are real people and desire to live in reality. We understood the sexual cycle. And now that we know, sex never stops, as we are all sexual beings created in the image of God for the purpose of procreation. Hence, we are always on the lookout. How we express our sexual energy and engage in sex and the coitus will determine the type of life that we will live. But never fear, there is always hope for the people of God. You can decide today if you want to trap yourself, being the trap, the trapper, and the trapee simultaneously. 3 points I want to leave with you. There is no safe sex outside of marriage. That is a misconception that we need to deliberate more on. There is no protected sex outside of marriage. There are all unprotected, hence the reason everyone is scared, concerned, or bewildered thereafter. Today, I submit to you May God lord of all, or inadvertently you'll choose for him not to be lord at all. Until next time, signing out is Kareem Ainsley. Loved by woman, respected by men. Peace, love, respect. If you want to understand in more detail about sex and sexuality, so you can move in accordance with divine ordinance as is intended by your Creator, kindly see the link in the description where you can procure a soft copy of Billionaire Single One. Your future self will thank you, as this investment will pay great dividends in ensuring that your life is lived in a state of ideal.